Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I am here today, it's Margaret Katzcan, with just such a thoughtful professional, my friend and teammate, David Langiuli.
Hey, Margaret.
I'm glad to have you. Today, we are talking about a topic that David and I actually talk about with some regularity, but he's written a blog this week about the idea of mindful self-compassion. And would love, David, just tee us up here. What's important about this topic?
Oh, God. What isn't
what
important,
isn't important?
Yeah. About this topic?
How did you find, how did you stumble or launch, right? Or yeah, how did
that's
you
a good,
get
that's,
here?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you and I are trained in some coaching methodology called positive intelligence, right?
Yes.
This is part of the work we do with clients. But prior to our being trained as PQ coaches, you and I were sort of introduced to saboteurs and sage powers, you know, and how we sabotage ourselves through this positive intelligence work based on a book by Shirzad Shamin. Folks in the audience know we talk about this a lot. You and I do these mini podcasts where we talk about all these nasty characters. We call them characters. They're more like mind patterns, the way we sabotage ourselves. And the master saboteur is in that program is called the judge, also known as the inner critic. So when I had become aware of that work, reading Shirzad's book and taking his assessment, I became painfully aware about how harsh my inner critic was and still is, but less so now. And an extension of that work, which I've been working on my inner critic for many years now, I was introduced to the mindful self-compassion workbook through a friend and fellow coach. And this is work developed by Kristen Neff, is primarily the person responsible for this work, although it's been, you know, it's been around for about 2,500 years since the Buddha, since the Buddha taught on this subject of compassion, and about 500 years later, Jesus spoke about forgiveness, which includes forgiving oneself, as you and I talk about frequently. So, anyway, that's how I got there, and I can tell you, I wouldn't wish on anybody in the audience to have to go as many years as I did in this journey, because you can get there a lot faster than I did.
Yeah. Yeah. It always, it's sort of now that I'm attuned to this, and it took me, you know, like you, it's a lot of life journey to begin training myself to hear it in myself. But one of the things that I now notice is how violently unpleasant so many people are to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, in coaching sessions and with friends, you know, now it's just, boy, it's like heartbreaking, right? To listen to how unkind we can be to ourselves. And I hear it so much now.
Yeah.
Other people.
I'm tuned to it as well. So I know in our work, we talked about this. We were together in person last week, and we spoke about this, how we're so tuned into it now that we won't let clients do that to themselves. We just won't.
Yeah. Back it up, right? I just want to just repeat back what you just said. Like, that's,
yeah, I'm just
so going
to say
okay.
How you're talking to yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then when they hear it, they're like, ooh, that is harsh, you know?
Yeah. So
but there is a lie.
Harsh.
There is
and
a
some
lie.
Don't, right, here we go. This is where we're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the lie?
Yeah, the lie is that it's not harsh. That helps me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
the
this
lie.
This is the voice that keeps me in line. And there you quote, you talk about the idea of idiot compassion. And I think for many people, there's like a binary, right? Like if I'm nice to myself, There's idiot compassion.
Right.
Otherwise, right. I'm harsh, right?
Right.
Say more about what say more about that and why you chose to write about that.
Well, there's a way of faking yourself out. Like, in other words, that judge, that inner critic voice, like if you become aware, you start to become aware of compassion for others, and many people can generate some compassion for others and still be harsh with themselves. I as I was progressing on this journey, I noticed there was like that was a disconnect. So right. There, like, idiot compassion could live in there. You know what I mean? Like you can be compassionate for other people and yet not for yourself. Like, that just doesn't seem to fit. It was a dissonance for me in my own mindset. You know,
yeah.
How could I have compassion for other people and not have compassion for myself? So as they say in the airline industry, you got to put on your own oxygen mask first.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you're saying. When I read that expression, idiot compassion, what I thought of was actually kind of this differentiation between, you know, just stepping over something, you know, forgiving right. yourself versus right. does, you know, being compassionate with ourselves actually can still include taking accountability, cleaning up our messes, right? Sure. And to me, idiot compassion is just sweeping it under the rug and exactly. forgetting, pretending that nothing happened. And I don't think that that's helpful.
Yeah, no, that's one version of it. Another version is like, you know, putting lipstick on a pig. It's still a fucking pig.
It is in fact, yes.
You know, it's still like you put lipstick on it or and it's still, that would be idiot compassion also, like, you know, trying to just cover it over, right?
Yeah. Or like when we talk about compassion, well, it's for other people and ourselves, right? Like saying mm-hmm. that we forgive, but not actually feeling yet the forgiveness, right? Saying it's okay. Right. It's okay. We do that a lot, I think, with other people. When somebody else makes a mistake or causes harm, sometimes there's this reaction to make somebody else feel better, to say it's okay, but there's dissonance right. because you haven't actually been with your anger yet or
right. right? Well, I think it's easier for us, at least for me and for other people I know, to forgive others sometimes than it is to forgive ourselves.
Yeah. No, I think that is true.
Yeah. Like, I think we're willing to give others the benefit of the doubt or cut them a break. And self-compassion is more about giving yourself a break and giving yourself the benefit of the doubt, you know, especially when you make mistakes or errors, or in my case, you know, I have a hard time forgiving myself when I like my anger might cause me to say something that is unskillful. Like in my family, for example, I might get triggered. My anger can, and this is another area I've been working on, is because that emotion of anger can come up very quickly. Actually, emotion is an anger served hot, as I like to say. Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
It could be smoldering, it could be fiery, but it's hot.
Yeah.
And for me, it comes up very quickly. And if I'm not mindful, I could say something unskillful to people I love. And then usually in the evening, when I'm lying in bed, the inner critic will come out and just beat the shit out of me for having said that in a moment right. of anger.
Yeah, that sort of perseverating, ruminating. Mine knocks on my door generally at 3 a.m., not early in okay. the evening. But
yeah,
I'm super yeah. familiar with what, right, the bashing, like, what were you thinking?
Right.
You're such an idiot. Yeah, those,
yeah, yes. Exactly. and you're not skillful, you did it again, you know, all that, right? And mindful self-compassion is becoming more aware. The first step is awareness that this voice is there. Many of us experience it frequently. So the first step in lessening that experience is becoming aware of that voice, and then recognizing that voice, generally speaking, is not all that helpful.
Yeah,
it's not a voice. Where people get stuck,
right? It's not a voice that comes from from our spirit or from our right. It's not a voice that comes from a place that's true and loving. No. It's a voice that came from it came from a different space, right? It's an adaptive voice that came from someplace different. But I think it's important to separate it as part of us, but it's not who we are.
Right. There is a survival function to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. So, right. In the case I mentioned earlier of unskillful speech, you might say at some point in life that that inner critic was helpful in you not making that kind of mistake, like to say that. But there's the lie, all right? Because if it were true that voice helps prevent you from making those errors in the future, you would not make those errors in the future. And I can share from my own experience that throughout my adult life, even though I had that harsh voice beating me up for having said something unskillful, I kept doing it.
Yeah, I don't think retroactive shame is really a great teacher.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
In any of the ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said step one.
Step one, notice.
Hear the voice.
Here's that. There's my, you could even get to a point where you say, oh, there I go again.
Right. And one of the ways to hear it is if you find yourself talking to yourself in words or a tone that you would literally never use with another human being, not even your exactly. worst enemy, and certainly never with somebody who is a friend or family member or a loved one, you know.
Yeah.
When you notice, like, who talks that way?
Right. What I say, what I'm saying to myself, to a good friend or loved one. See, that's a good question, right? Yeah. If you're noticing the tone of that voice. Now, for some, that voice is so regular and just becoming aware of it is a huge step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. It took me till I did positive intelligence to really, get more ninja at hearing myself.
Right.
So, yeah.
Like I was, I had an episode. This is how subtle it can be. I live here in Naples, Florida, and we have a pool area. And I was out on the beach yesterday with my lovely wife, Lillian, and we came up and I said, oh, I'm going to take a dip in the hot tub in the pool and then head up and have dinner. And so, and there were some like little storm clouds over us, and it started raining. So I put my towel and my bag under in an area in this outside space so that it wouldn't get wet. So I meditate, I have a nice 10-minute meditation in the hot tub, and I go jump in the pool and everything's lovely. And I get out and I'm like, where's my shit? I was like, where is my shit? Like, where's my towel and my bag? I'm looking all around the pool area because it's like I never put my stuff where I put it, right? And so I had this moment of first judging like others, like, oh, somebody stole my shit.
Hey.
And then I was like, wow, man, and then I was like, where is it? Like, how could I have lost this stuff? And then I remembered, oh, I put it under the covered area. Then the inner critic came in and said, oh, you see, you're blaming people and you can't remember anything. Oh, you're getting old. Like, you're getting senile. Like, how could you have forgotten that you put it over there? Like, it could be something as simple as
where I put my towel, right?
Oh. But that was like the whole mind pattern. And then I was like, wait a minute, relax. You just had a moment where you forgot where your towel was.
So anyway, awareness.
Awareness.
It's a perfect story. Awareness and like really.
Well, I wanted to give the audience an example of how subtle, like just something little like that, and you can start beating yourself up over it. I mean, that wasn't that harsh, but it was like critical. It was a critical voice. It could be like criticism. It could be something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, there's so much in our culture around like being competent above all else sometimes, right? Like not making mistakes.
And don't make mistakes.
I love to remind people that humans, like, I'm pretty sure how we learn to walk is to keep falling over and over again. It's a whole experiential series of coming into relationship with gravity. And then something happens and like, we don't let ourselves make mistakes, right? Like we forget that I'm actually pretty sure that biologically, this is how we learn. You know,
well, biologically speaking, we are mistakes.
That's true.
Right? Think about it.
Yeah.
There's like, we are like 99% of our genetic code that we share. That's like very similar.
Yeah.
And then all of our diversity and difference happens in the quote unquote mistakes in the 1%.
Yeah.
See? So, you know, probably that's a metaphor for our lives. Like 99% of the time we're on it, and yet 1% of the time we make mistakes. And then in comes that harsh inner critic that's gonna remind you endlessly about the 1% mistakes you make.
Right.
But because supposedly there should be perfection.
Right. Well, what we're doing right now is actually kind of step two of this, right, of the process here. So if step one is hearing the voice and step two is actually just finding your common humanity, right?
Right. Exactly.
So remembering, we're all mistakes. We all make mistakes. You know, it's remembering our connection
to that's common humanity. And then the third step in a mindful self-compassion practice is to be kind and gentle with yourself during this moment of distress.
Yeah. So what were your words that you came up with when you found your towel or when you had that moment? How did you practice?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, there is a fourth step, which you can jump to. And I think masters of this work can jump right to it. And I'm becoming more masterful, which is to just forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. I made a mistake. I forgot where my towel was, and then all these judging voices came in, and then there was something else for me that happened, is that trusting that all of what unfolded there was a learning moment for me.
Right.
You know, that's a little bit different. I mean, this is something that you and I, you know, seeing the gift or the, you know, in that challenging situation, it was a gift for me because it reminded me how still with all my training and all the work that I do with other clients, I can still have moments of where I'm harsh with myself, and yet I can recover from that.
Yeah.
So there was a huge gift in there. And also there was a gift of just trusting, like at one point in this process, and Lillian, when I came up to the apartment, I was like, where were you? And I said, like, I was like walking around the pool area looking for my
having
bag
a meltdown. Yeah.
Having an emotional meltdown, right? Yeah.
When you but, When you talk about the gifts, one of the things that you're pointing to that I want to name is, I think at the beginning, when people think of this idea of self-compassion, and you know, they don't buy that it makes sense, or it seems inconceivable that they can get from how they speak to themselves now to a softer place. And what you're naming, David, is it's a journey, right? We practice over and over and over and over again. It's not, you know, it's not something where instantly, oh, listen, you're talking to yourself very harshly right now, and then kablooey, right? Bam. Okay, right. Great. I'm being nice. I forgive myself. Like, right. We're trying to undo a lot of years of habits here.
You know, I think it's one of the central teachings of Jesus in the New Testament is forgiveness. And there is a story, and I can't remember which gospel that comes from. And but one of the apostles asks him, you know, how many times should I forgive this person? And there was something about the number seven from the from Judaism that said, I forgive him seven times. And Jesus says, no, you will have to forgive him 7 by 70 times, right? And it goes for ourselves too. Like, how many times am I going to have to forgive myself?
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking about self-forgiveness in the context of self-compassion, which is an advanced step, you have to forgive yourself 7 by 70 times, because it keeps coming up as a harsh voice.
Yeah. I'm sort of curious, like, when you finally exhale and you get to a place of forgiveness, like, what happens in your body? That's my somatic question.
Well, you're more in tune with your body than I am. That's another area I'm still working on. So why don't you share what happens for you when you forgive yourself, or when you have self-compassion?
My noticing always is just there's space. There's like space in my chest where there was a constriction. Mm-hmm. There's just a peaceful openness there, which is really lovely. It's a great thing for us to aspire to. You know, there's room to breathe again.
Room to breathe. That's beautiful. You know, so one invitation, I think we're gonna give the audience something to try, but with that, also to notice. Well, let's just do that first, and then
what do we want our audience to try?
Yeah,
David?
Let's give them something to try. So, this is a shorthand practice. So, if you're wanting some relief, if you're aware that you have a you can be harsh with yourself from time to time, critical of yourself, and you notice that it's not very helpful, then you're on this journey. And one of the practices I give to my coaching clients is for them to put their hands over their heart and say something like this when that inner voice comes up. This is hard for me right now. Other people have been through something like this. May I be kind and gentle with myself during this time. That's the practice. And when the voice comes up again, you stay with that. It's almost like a mantra. And then notice in your body when it's released. This is adding on to what you have said. Notice what happens, what shifts in your body when you actually release that voice.
And an extra tool, which I sometimes people really have a lot of trouble coming up with the kind and gentle language for themselves. And so sometimes I suggest, think of somebody who you genuinely love, right? Like put a picture in your brain of a human that you would never be mean to, you know, and think of what you would say to them.
Yes.
And now try saying that to yourself.
That's another excellent practice.
Yeah.
It, especially starting out, because sometimes, and don't get too hung up on forgiveness. It's an advanced practice, shall we say.
Right.
But
compassion
we will get
first.
There. Compassion first. What I say, what I'm saying to myself, to a dear loved one or friend?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. Okay.
Right.
Then may I be kind and gentle with myself right now.
Right. May I not treat myself as my worst enemy.
Right.
Or worse than my worst enemy.
And I will say that for the audience, you know, for extra help, there is the Mindful Compassion Workbook, which I mentioned in the blog, which has a lot of great exercises in it. And I think we're going to put a link in the show notes to a coaching program that you and I are going to offer around this. And so you want to just say a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be, we're going to put, we work in with a pod. And so there will, you know, be a couple of other people in the class, and it makes it, you know, a little bit easier, I think, access point financially than one-on-one coaching for a lot of people. And we're going to go through this self-compassion workbook, and it's going to include lots of coaching and support from us to help people kind of master some of the skill and cultivate a different relationship with themselves.
Yeah. And you know,
look
we
for
need...
that space in their chests, right? To find the spaciousness. Yeah.
Yeah. Find that spaciousness. Or for me, it feels like a melting away. It's not a body sensation, but it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. There you go. It
Be
feels
compassionate,
like...
David. There's nothing wrong with your sensation.
Thank you. It does feel like it melts away for me. It's almost like sweet chocolate melting or something like that, you know. So we will put a link in the show notes for this mindful self-compassion coaching program. We'll need 4 people at a minimum to come into this. So if you know that you want to do this work, bring a friend.
Yeah. And we know this is going to be a great setting for people to do this work and to really get support and some accountability as well to work through. Yeah.
Yeah. And some people too, who are, you know, there's something about normalizing, like being in it together. And it can be very, you know, that's the work we do in groups, small groups called pods, really helps people because they realize they're going through it. They're not alone. There's that part of I am not alone piece of that mantra.
Right. And how much we learn, you know, I mean, I learn from hearing you speak about the qualities of your inner critic. And not because mine sounds like yours, but because I listened and I was like, no, mine's a little different. And it really, that interaction, you know, is so valuable.
Yep. All right. Well, we're looking forward to being with you guys. So just email me from that. There'll be a landing page describes the program. And if you want in, bring a friend, shoot me an email. We'll get you guys signed up.
Yeah. Great. And hands on heart practice. So take that with you. Well, thank you so much, David, for your blog and for your personal stories that help us all learn. Glad to always get a chance to riff with you.
My pleasure.
So, this podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in the world in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or an annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.